I'm just a fan in general of a lot of the people that are pushing ideas forward that might be unconventional.
Raw bovine testicles have all of the raw ingredients required to, number one, produce a testicle and to strengthen and support our own testicles.
He said, if you believe this crap, please go eat some brains. And okay, funny. But he said, I drastically underestimate how stupid people are. It's actually incredible what people will get suckered into believing.
When people are talking about, this is the best diet, that's the best diet, and he puts out a lot of information.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've been screaming at you guys for so long, you still don't fucking get it. So everybody has their tipping point.
My other point is I'm unaware of, like, there's no proof, there's no science, there's no research necessarily saying that liver can help the liver, that I know of. Now, again, I don't know a ton of studies, but I also would say that it's probably pretty hard to prove the other way as well.
I don't know, when man first started, had the ability to write shit on paper, was the first thing that he wrote studies?
Studies!
Like, right? All this shit was anecdotal at one point.
Yeah.
So when it comes to some of these outlandish things, I would just say, like, I don't know. They do say you are what you eat.
If I had your eyes, my dick would hurt all day.
That's what he said.
I didn't see how many views this got, but it's Logan Paul, so it's going to get millions.
I think the full podcast got like maybe 1.7, 1.9
Jesus.
I think so.
Good, man. I think it's fucking great. Yeah.
Like, I think generally
it's good. Let's have more people talking about like eating meat and eating organs. Like, that's an awesome problem to have.
Fish or chicken?
Oh my god.
Power Project family, how's it going? And listen up, we talk about meat and nutrition all the time on this podcast, from the carnivore diet, keto, low carb, IFYM, and the cool thing is that we've partnered with a great company, Piedmontese Beef. Yes, it's beef. And the great thing about Piedmontese Beef is this: no matter if you're someone who's dieting on low fats, high fats, carnivore, any diet, they have different types of cuts of steak that are going to fit your diet perfectly, from the flat iron that has, Andrew, what is the macros on that thing?
So that one has 46 grams of protein and only 4 grams of fat for the entire steak.
And if you want fattier cuts, they have ribeyes, center cuts, they have literally everything for no matter what diet you do. So you can't use the excuse of your diet and tell yourself that you can't eat red meat. So Andrew, how can they get Piedmontese Beef?
Yes, man. So that's at Piedmontese.com. That's Piedmontese.com. At checkout, enter promo code POWER for 25% off your entire order. And if your order is $150 or more, you get free 2-day shipping. Again, Piedmontese.com, promo code POWER. All links down in the description, as well as the podcast show notes.
You could use an extra scoop.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Well, are we on right now?
We're going now.
We're going
now.
Yeah.
Dude, how many scoops are you using on that now?
Well, we had some This Is The Way over here that was like the remnants, the last half scoop. So I put some chalk and vanilla in there, then some collagen, because I'm still, my nails are long as fuck. I need to cut these. It's actually,
I'm starting to get concerned about you.
I cut my nails recently and they're back.
Andrew, you worried? He's like, he's really doing a lot with the protein nowadays.
Yeah.
Like more so than normal.
You got to do like Whole Foods or something instead.
Bitch, I'm getting leaner.
Just gonna keep getting more and more jacked.
No, I'm getting, I'm on cup, guys.
Dude, does protein shakes
creatine again? And actually creatine, because people think when you say creatine you're talking about
creatine
drugs.
Cigarettes.
It's cool when you cut
trend creatine.
You're like the only guy I've seen that like goes on a cut and gains 10 pounds of muscle.
That's not true.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yo.
We gotta keep the rumors flowing about Massimo. We gotta keep it going strong.
My god, dude.
Oh, go ahead.
The fucking Reddit thing about how many people were going in about this guy. He claims he does 2 hours of sleep a night. It's bullshit. Obviously, he's on stuff.
And it's just like Chef Rush.
It's comical to me because, like, you believe that. Like, we can tell you anything and you'll believe it.
But also,
Massimo's actually vegan, everybody.
Yeah.
Suck on that.
When I said I was 185 on the show the other
day. Yes, that's like, what I mean.
Immediately we were like, nah, I'm actually 250. But people are like, he's 185.
He
must
comments,
be lying. Like, I'm like, dog, we were joking. But on the 2 hours thing, man, I did a whole Instagram post thing about it in that podcast where I said I sleep for 2 hours. Like, we literally laughed And we're like, we've said multiple times, like, dog, this is not true. I do not sleep 2 hours. But, you know, some people will hold on to what you say and put that as like, ah, that's wild. But that, you know what, that Reddit thread, honestly,
I think it's encouraging in some ways that people are listening to us that much.
Yeah.
To like, take our advice. So maybe we do need to be a little more careful every once in a while. Yeah, that's what we say around.
Fuck that's what I mean.
That. No. Fuck that. We need to have some fun.
How many kale shakes a day do you drink?
Kale shakes?
Yeah.
Six.
Okay.
Along my 3 hours, I bumped it up to 3 hours.
I thought
you
said you fast.
Well, you know, fasting is done in the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah,
it's like, it also depends on what your body does with the food.
Belief system.
Bioavailability, but also like a 24-hour day for me is like 24 hours, but Nsema has like 48 hours in one day.
Yeah, so because he can actually sleep.
He gets way more done. Yeah.
Dog.
Yeah, maybe not going off the Mayan calendar, maybe.
I gotta say though, like that Reddit thread was my
going
favorite.
Off my own?
Yeah.
That Reddit thread was my favorite because they really went savage. Like they were
they went
hardcore, man. I was like, God, wow. I feel that. Yeah. Like, but it was good. It was good. Mm. But what I was gonna say was, so been messing more with the cold plunge, right? And I've also been messing with Wim Hof breathing. And I wanna preface this and say, I'm not gonna go too deep into what I'm doing, but like, first off, Wim Hof, in his book, he actually talked about how he did that breathing while swimming through ice cold water. And he also tells people don't do this because sometimes when you do the Wim Hof breathing, you could pass out if you hold your breath too long and you're not used to it. You pass out and you do that in water. There have been people that have died. Well, I've been doing Wim Hof breathing in the cold plunge. And just a cool aspect, I'm telling people don't. You have to be careful, okay? I'm not suggesting you do this. I also think just don't do it yet, or don't do it because Wim Hof says don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when doing it, my cold plunge is set at 39 to 40 degrees. And typically when I'm in there, I've had it around 2.5 minutes. I mean, I control my breathing. I take deep breaths, but typically I've been just in there 2.5, 3 minutes, I'm out. I'm good. I did my 3 minutes and it's hard. It feels hard. But by doing I do a round of Wim Hof breathing and then I get into the cold plunge and I keep doing the breathing. And the first time I did it, I stayed in the cold plunge at 45 degrees for 5 minutes. The next day, I mean, I lowered the temperature 8 minutes. The next day, 12 minutes and 30 seconds. But the thing is it felt easy. Mm. Like I could have stayed in there for more than 12 minutes. And now my literal standard for in the cold plunge these days is just 8 minutes. The last few days have literally been 7 minutes and 30 seconds. And what I was going to tell you guys before the episode started is like, it's like as I breathe more and as I'm staying in there, it gets easier. It doesn't get harder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really cool thing. You know, it's really fucking wild.
It's kind of interesting. I wonder. Thing. Yeah, I kind of wonder, like...
Again, don't do Wim Hof breathing in your cold plunge. Please, don't do it. Okay.
What's interesting is, and what I wonder is, like, because it makes it easier, maybe you shouldn't do it. Mm. Like, I don't know. Like, I just... Maybe because it, you know, it's helping you. You mentioned that you kind of almost feel warm in there.
Mm-hmm. No. My body feels the sensation of cold. Mm. So even there was a certain point where I was starting to shiver. So my body feels the sensation of cold.
You're still registering.
But there's a weird thing going on internally where I have this weird internal warmth and I don't know how to explain that.
Is it more like maybe like a mental thing?
It's partially mental, but when you do Wim Hof breathing, the initial aspect of it is hyperventilation. So you are beginning to expel large amounts of CO2 and increase your O2 so that when you hold your breath initially, you've gotten rid of so much CO2 that you can hold your breath for a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. So your O2 stays relatively high. And then you exhale you breathe heavy breaths.
Yeah, I did some 40. Of the breaths that you said and I got in the cold plunge. It was way easier.
Yeah, yeah.
Way easier. Yeah, it felt way better.
But when you stay in there, your body will, like, you'll start to shiver a little bit if your breath gets a little bit out of control, but you'll find that I can still stay in here. Mm. So I'm not, I would disagree where I don't think you need to, I don't think.
You get to oscillate back and forth between the, you know, that method and then also just going in without breathing that like that. Maybe.
But here's another thing that happened. When I was doing the breathing in the cold plunge, right? This happened today. At about 5 minutes, I was like, okay, let me just start breathing normally. And I was just chilling in there. So I didn't do the breath holds, which again, don't do. Like, And if for some reason, if somebody does choose to do this after I've told you don't do this three times, have somebody with you, have somebody that's watching you. Mm-hmm. Because when I was doing some of the breath holds, I would have my hands outside of the tub and I would also not hold my breath as long as I possibly could. That's how I'm making sure that I stay safe. Because if you do the Wim Hof breathing and you hold your breath outside really long, in that realm, you could pass out because you're holding your breath too long. There's a point where you should take a deep breath. So I'm holding my breath for a short amount of time than I actually could, just to make sure that I stay safe within the water. But again, even Wim says don't do this in water. But the reason why I chose to do it in the cold plunge is because he said that he learned things by doing the breathing in the in water. And then he said, don't do it. But I was like, I got to fucking try it. And it's dope.
The cold plunge makes me delirious and it makes me like start laughing. You know, I'll just be sitting there. And I'll just like start laughing. I really like the feel of it. I just want to apologize to all the fans that were so hyped up on it. But like, we're just like little kids. Like, this is exciting. It's fun for us. Cool. Whenever we start, you know, the whole gym started messing with knees over toes stuff. And we started messing with all these different things that we're learning. And we just get excited, you know, and we just like to share it with people because it helps us feel good. And hopefully with cold baths, like hopefully this is something that sticks around. You know, you think about all the different interventions that we've placed. Not all of them stick all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's fine because like we're always looking for like new stuff. We're always looking for something. Sometimes it's not new. Like cold therapy is not new. It's been around a long time. But we're always trying to find something that is going to help us push to the next level. And if you think about some of the stuff from Ben Patrick, the knees over toes stuff, some things we've adopted from someone like Louis Simmons, which is like the sled, the reverse hyper, box squats, you know, all these different things. Like some of these things have been around for a while with us, such as like intermittent fasting. Something like Kratom has stood the test of time. We've been utilizing that product for quite a while. So I just want fans to understand that we get on these like cycles, we get on these kicks and we get cycles. We get on these kicks where we're super pumped about stuff. But I'm enjoying a lot of the benefits of the cold plunge as well. And I heard Andrew kind of talking about the mental effects, and we'll dive deep into this more, especially the longer that we're doing this. So that way it's not a honeymoon thing. Like, you know, hopefully, maybe in the next couple weeks and months, we can get some guests on that really talk a lot about this. Hopefully we can get Wim Hof himself. Are you listening? Wim, we need you on the show.
Put out the bat signal.
We need some more people to come on the show to talk more about this and how it can benefit people and give people other options as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to also mention, I did read his book, right? And for all of you guys, because the cold plunge, it's not cheap. It's extremely beneficial because when you compare it to other cold devices out there, like you don't need to change the water. It filters itself. It doesn't take up much space. Like it's extremely efficient. You know what I mean?
And it stays cold.
And it stays cold.
You don't have to refill it with ice and drain it. You don't have to, you know, try to find some weird way. Like it just, it does it for you.
Yeah. But if you, this is the thing, we're using cold plunges, but you guys can just take cold showers. Mm-hmm. I was reading Wim's book. Like he was talking about, like, you know, if you can have the water warm and then do a minute cold or 30 seconds cold or a minute 30 cold. And he was mentioning how people's resting heart rate after 10 days of adding cold showers into what they do in the morning started to go down by up to 8 to 10 beats. That's actually happened for myself. Like my resting heart rate's typically around usually 55, 56. I've had resting heart rates on days of like 48, 49. And that I never really touched the 40s before. So like,
that's awesome.
It you know, like, so,
but, and quite rare for a bigger guy.
Yeah, exactly. But this thing, cold showers, guys, if you don't want to, you don't have to get the cold plunge, just start a cold shower. Cause you're going to feel a lot of the same things that we're feeling right now. So it's fucking dope though, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like I was telling you guys through text, like I'll lean into the cold. Cause like, I don't know. Like I keep trying to find like the right verbiage, but you know how they say like pain is weakness leaving the body. I'm not saying it's painful, but like when I shiver and stuff, like when we had the Gota guys here and you know, like they had us on the wall and we were like shaking. They're like, oh, that's just your body like recoding itself. Like it's kind of getting rid of like the bad patterns and you're getting some good stuff like recoded in.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like when I'm in there, it's like, you know, like a version of weakness leaving my body when I'm shivering. Cause like I tried to film myself, posted it on Instagram and I'm like, I just uncontrolled, like I can't like stop shaking. You know, the camera looks all crazy. It's pretty, pretty funny, but yeah, dude, for my mental health, like I haven't been able to get anything nowhere near as like cool as this, like as far as a mood boost. And then somebody did mention, they're like, man, it's pretty expensive. And like, I've wasted way more money trying to get the same benefits with like compounds, with like pills, with like therapy. Like, there's been a lot of shit that I've wasted my money on that did not even like nothing, even a fraction of how amazing I feel when I get out of the cold plunge. So, you know, it's, yeah, I same thing, dude. Like, when you discover something new and you're just like uber excited over everything,
because you feel it, bro. Like,
thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth. Like, what I was getting at was like, you know, like when I discovered Gota, and like, I couldn't shut up about it. And then now with this, I can't shut up about it. But because of like the mood that it puts you in, it's just like,
it's cocaine, baby.
We'll have you explain that a little bit, but. Yeah, dude, it's incredible. And, you know, fuck it. So, like, if you guys want to save some money on it, just head over to thecoldplunge.com and at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT. I believe you save like $150 off. It's cool that they're a local Sacramento company, and, you know, we're in Sacramento, so we'll rep 916 all day. But they ship everywhere. So, just check out the website. We all have the Plunge XLs, which I'm really grateful for, because, like, I can totally lay out inside that thing. Just be, you know, neck deep in water and still have space for my feet. But like, now what I'll do is like, I'll pin myself, and then like, I'll like basically,
oh,
like,
you will?
I'll like, ba-dum. Oh, I got it pinned. Yeah. Gadoosh. I guess I'll wedge myself, and then I'll move my arms so that way I can get the water colder. You know, yeah. I keep trying to do that, and I'll mess with my shorts to try to get my balls even colder. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of a weird feeling.
Yeah, your dick just—it's a shame.
Somebody, flopping out.
Somebody was like, "How do you deal with the shrinkage of your dong?"
I don't even look at it,
and I'm like, "That's a bad."
I shower. I'm just like, "God, wow, it's really this small right now." It's like, am I six? What the fuck has happened?
So, the mental benefits are good for a little while
until you look down. Then yeah. you're sad again,
depressed all over again.
Yeah,
I was telling Kyle that you're messing with these finger things. He was laughing. He's like, "Man," he's like, "I've been down." He's like, "I've been there." Oh, they have them hanging up at Onnit. They have them there.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, see? Yeah. See?
I wonder if they have classes for it too.
Hey. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. They've been doing beta testing on finger spreaders.
Yeah. If you guys, I got these on Amazon. It's from a brand called Drop Sky. They're finger spreaders. They have a level 1 through 5. But on walks, man, I'm just fucking doing 10 second holds and then repping it out and then 10 second holds. It's, yeah. Yeah, but I gotta add this in real quick. The cocaine comment.
Oh yeah,
guys. If you can just search this up after this podcast, but look up Andrew Huberman cold plunge. There's like an 8-minute video where he talks about different levels of dopamine release that you get from like sex, chocolate, cocaine, and cold. Mm-hmm. And like from sex and chocolate, you get the 2x dopamine increase. Cocaine, you'll get a 2.5 dopamine multiplier, but it'll last. And then it'll drop. You'll get a sharp drop. But with cold plunging, and you'll get the benefits anywhere below 60 degrees, right?
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness.
But depending on how long you stay in there, like, you can also get a 2.5x increase in dopamine, but it will stay for a long period of time after cold plunging. So this is why, as I'm talking about it, I do it every morning. This is why whenever I come in and I'm podcasting, I feel so fucking good. You know, it's coffee honestly doesn't compare. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's wild. So that's why I'm making the cocaine comparison.
Mm-hmm. I saw Jason Kalipa post this morning that it's part of his morning routine. He pops in a cold plunge. His daughter pops in a cold plunge. It's like, that's kind of a neat way to start your day. His daughter's like, I don't know, 9 or 10 or something like that.
Hey, man, that's sick for kids.
Yeah.
You know, harden them a bit. You know,
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Strengthen them up a little bit.
Just a little bit.
All right, we're going to talk about the Liver King, huh?
Yeah.
So Liver King was on Logan Paul's podcast, and I thought the podcast was really good. He shared a lot of good information. I'm just a fan in general of a lot of the people that are pushing ideas forward that might be unconventional, mm-hmm. and people that are pushing ideas forward that also might be unconventional, but maybe they're also really old. Like, maybe this information is like, maybe it's like where we started, you know? Ancestral kind of style of eating, nose to tails type stuff. I love the information that comes from people like Paul Saladino, Sean Baker, just trying to keep your nutrition as simple as possible. And I think sometimes from a perspective of when we have talked with nutritionists and talked with people that have studied this for a long time, and they even have PhDs in these topics, I think it's a hard thing to just hear, hey, you know, just eat whole foods and like you're good.
Yeah.
It makes you like, but yeah, I studied, you know. And also, I think you're also trying to figure out ways of coaching / giving information to the public to where they can walk through every single day with all the modern foods that we have, so that they're not just focused in on like, oh, if I don't eat, you know, liver and I don't eat kidney, then I'm not going to be healthy.
Yeah.
And so it is a hard line to walk out there when you're trying to figure out your nutrition. But if we always go back to trying to keep the whole foods in there, meat, fruit, maybe some vegetables, and maybe some dairy, you know, that's a really good diet and should be something that someone can sustain. Now, we start to get into like nuanced stuff of like how many carbohydrates, how much fat should someone take in, how much protein do they need? And you start to get into this whole weird list of things. And then it's like, well, do we need organs? You know, our ancestors may have, it appears that they ate organs. There's a lot of people talking about nose to tail eating and how impactful and effective that can be. So it brings up a lot of questions, but what Lane posted, in regards to what the Liver King said on the Logan Paul podcast, it just caused a huge explosion. Mm-hmm. And I think right away it had like 20,000 likes, and it also had like 1,200 comments or something like that. So I thought that was a good opportunity to kind of like kick that, you know, keep that ball in the air, keep that volley going. And so Seema sent me the thing about it, and I didn't even know about it yet, but he sent it to me. And I screen captured it. I'm like, I'm going to post this too because this is really interesting. Liver King basically making a statement of – he makes a couple statements and we'll go over all of them. But one of them being that if you eat liver, it may have potential to help heal your liver.
Radioisotope studies.
Yeah. And I think it's foolish sometimes when people cite studies and then they don't say what study it is. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that's really beneficial or helpful to us. I don't think it's great when people hop back and forth between their beliefs and studies.
Yeah.
It's kind of confusing. For myself personally, I always like to just kind of put it forward and say, this is my beliefs. I don't know what the studies say. I'm kind of unaware of them. I barely know how to even read a study. I'd rather have somebody that's in a better spot than me read a study and kind of interpret it. But anyway, Liver King kind of proposing this idea that liver can help liver, heart can help heart, testicles can help testicles type thing is interesting to me. So I posted about it and just said, well, if when we work out, we damage muscle, we break it down, and then we eat muscle, it seems to help repair the muscle.
Better than plant proteins would because of, you know, the amino acids within muscle meat.
Yeah, exactly. And so – you know, Lane kind of stating like he thought it was so dumb that people took this on as like a belief that this could be a thing. And so he's like, I was never going to even address this because I just thought it was so stupid. I can't believe people bought it type of thing. So I just thought that was like a poor way to try to make a point, a counterpoint to what Liver King was saying. Rather, you would think that Lane Norton would come back with science, straight up science, and say, here's the studies. Here's why what he's talking about is bullshit.
I can understand an aspect of why Lane is angry. Because, like, you know, the saying that, and we'll play it, like he says, like, there have been radioisotope studies to show that eating liver will help you repair your liver. And maybe, I think he mentioned something about brain, but liver primarily. You know, we saw comments, Huberman mentioned that doesn't really exist. And, you know, a lot of people, when they maybe find a study, everybody has some type of interpretation of what the specific study means, even if they just read the abstract and the conclusion. Like they'll say, oh, so this is what fasting does. Like, you know, like they'll do that.
I'm going to tell Nsema he's wrong.
So maybe Liver King did that, right? I don't know, but the study thing was kind of stupid and Lane addressed it, which I appreciate. The main reason why I sent it to you after I saw it, and the main reason why I was just like, dog, like Lane, I love you, man. I've been reading your shit since I was like 20, you know, I've been paying attention to all that stuff because Lane is fucking smart. But sometimes I just don't understand why, like in that post, Andrew,
yeah, I got it.
Can you pull up Lane's post?
Yeah.
it was interesting. It's the next one. It's the fuck, hold on. Maybe it's his.
It's because it's white on white. I can't see it. So
it's second. All good.
I got you. Just had to switch it back over to the other.
Because I just don't know if I can read that far. So I wanna look at this aspect of what Lane posted. Or maybe did he delete it? No, here we go. He said, "If you believe this crap, please go eat some brains." And okay, funny.
Long.
But he said, "I drastically underestimate how stupid people are. It's actually incredible what people will get suckered into believing." And I don't even get why that's the thing. Because, first off, not as many people are as into health and fitness as we are here, mm-hmm. right? Or as Lane mm-hmm. is, or as like people yeah. in the fitness industry are. So an average Joe, 16-year-old kid or some 30-year-old mom or whoever managed to pop on there who doesn't pay attention to things, hears Liver King say this and is like, oh, that makes some kind of sense. Like, she's not stupid. She's just kind of uninformed. Mm-hmm. And it's weird to me because Lane attacked what Liver King said. Then he attacked the innocent people that are starting to believe it. Then he attacked what Liver King said. And then again, attacked innocent people who may believe it. I'm just like, dog, you are the guy with the scientific facts. That's what mm-hmm. people come to you for. How about you tell people about the fucking scientific facts and kill them with, you're the guy who kills people with research. Kill them with the research, but don't attack people who are just trying to better their fucking lives.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to me. That's why I was so surprised, because I'm like, Lane, you're Lane.
Yeah. I mean, right. We're all human. Everybody has their tipping point. And just like you, I've followed Lane for a long time since I met him when he was on the PowerCast the first time, like 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to follow somebody's advice and the way they eat, it's going to be more what Lane preaches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
With that though, he's going to bat almost every day when people are talking about this is the best diet, that's the best diet. And he puts out a lot of information.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've been screaming at you guys for so long, you still don't fucking get it. So everybody has their tipping point.
That's understandable.
But what you're saying though, yeah, I mean, it was a podcast. It's Liver King. He's pretty I actually don't know if he's over the top or not, but the whole thing about
he's
like being on a carnivorous diet's a little bit, you know, out there.
Yeah.
I mean, for us it's not, but it is to general pops. I think Lane kind of was just like, well, I'm gonna play into this, right? Go eat brains if you believe this.
Yeah.
So I think he was being a little bit more animated, I guess I'll say.
My other point is I'm unaware of, like, there's no proof, there's no science, there's no research necessarily saying that liver can help the liver,
yeah.
That I know of. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I don't know a ton of studies, but I also would say that it's probably pretty hard to prove the other way as well. There's
that
probably
it can't help liver? Like,
right.
Liver couldn't help liver? Okay.
Right. There might not be a lot of research or evidence. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. But I do know that these things have been around for a really long time. Chinese medicine... I think there was Indian populations that believed some of these things. I saw some comments, people saying that people used to make weapons that would have the tip of the spear be made out of like bones, and they believed that it was like the spirit of the animal. Like, and I realize that these things are definitely not science based. These are like cultural things, perhaps, but
yeah.
You know, I just think there's so much that we don't know, and I have seen too many things happen over the years where ideas are like, that's a really fucking dumb thing. Fasting, we thought a lot of stuff was dumb. I think a cold plunge seems dumb. Like, yeah. It doesn't seem to make any sense.
Yeah.
I'm going to freeze my ass off for what reason? That sounds like ludicrous.
Uh-huh.
There's been people talking about ketogenic diets and the efficacy around it in terms of perhaps being able to help people with cancer. Is that a bad idea? Like, I think it's a great idea to explore it. Like, let's look into it. Let's research it. Let's see if it has. But, like, let's not just bash it right away and not know anything about it. So, so when it comes to some of these outlandish things, I would just say, like, I don't know. They do say you are what you eat, right?
That is a saying.
And I don't know. Like, Liver King goes on to talk about, like, testicles and testicles producing testicles and, like, a lot of weird stuff like that. Like, I don't know if that makes any sense. That doesn't sound like it makes any sense to me, because there are vegan people having vegan children, and maybe they are immunodeficient, or like their immunity is maybe not as strong, or maybe they're not getting the right minerals exactly correct. but it's not like they're born without testicles because they didn't, the you know, the parents weren't eating nutrients that had testicles in it.
I want to mention this because Huberman commented on your post and we were just talking about it, but he left a long, cool comment about how those studies won't be done on, like, you know, testing of liver will help liver, blah, blah, blah. But he said, P.S., there's a whole parallel universe around the consumption of uterus and ovaries to stimulate fertility in women. I'm definitely not saying that works. I'm just saying there are people who do that. Will we soon see the rise of Ovary Queen online?
Mm.
Who wants to take up that mantle of the Ovary Queen? Just eat a bunch of ovaries and have a bunch of babies and you are the mother. That works.
Damn, maybe. It writes itself.
It writes itself.
But I want to be the Ovary King, though.
Yeah. I want to be that Ovary Queen, King. Get in them ovaries.
That's crazy. I mean, so, like, I remember back in the day, and I mean, it wasn't like an animal product, but, like, we'd get sick and my mom would make, like, a mint tea, and all of a sudden I wouldn't be sick anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine that there is some equivalent to that when it comes to, like, animal products. Like, I just, because I've experienced that, there's no way that I can believe that that doesn't exist.
Those homemade remedies are a real thing. My mom would, like, whenever I'd get sick, I'd eat a fuck ton of ginger. Mm-hmm. And cayenne pepper. Like, she'd make this drink that had ginger, cayenne pepper, aloe vera.
Was that for, like, colds?
It was, like, flus? Colds or, like, anything. Like, colds. Like, usually colds or that type of stuff.
I broke my arm. Here, let me eat this ginger.
Ginger. hey, man. Yeah, like,
food is medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These a lot of these old remedies actually come from your mother did it and it helped her. Mm-hmm. Her mother did it. It helped her. It's like these things are passed down and it's like, okay, it's not scientific, but
sometimes
seems to work.
Sometimes also when somebody has like an iron deficiency, it's not like they're going to go take a bite out of a 45-pound plate, but they'll eat iron and then their body will have more iron in it. So it's like, I don't think the idea is all that far-fetched. Like if you eat foods that have iron in it, there's some people that have trouble absorbing it, but if someone has trouble absorbing iron, sometimes they eat red meat and sometimes the problem is solved. Mm-hmm. So thinking that like we need to drink blood or that organ meats might be beneficial to us, I don't know. Like who's really doing it? Who is like really doubling down and really doing it? Who's really eating organs every day and meat? The people that I see doing it, which is only like a couple, I guess maybe even two people. I see Paul Saladino doing it. He seems to be in tremendous shape. He also has a lot of other aspects of his life that look like they are conducive to being lean and being in good shape. And the Liver King.
Sean Baker.
And Sean Baker is a little bit more where he just eats like muscle meat.
Yeah. He doesn't do fucking organs like that.
He doesn't mess with any of that stuff. So there's another guy throwing some conjecture in there where it's like, well, maybe you don't have to mess around with eating testicles.
Mm-hmm. You know, when it does come to a lot of this stuff, like I get how, okay, first off, the whole radioisotope study thing, that was fucking, I gotta just reiterate, that was, come on, dog. Like, that's stupid. Like, let's not do that, especially with, that's just dumb. But outside of that, you know, when we have a lot of stuff and talk about a lot of things on the show or have guests that come onto the show that do certain things that maybe hasn't had much research or maybe there is research to show that it's not as useful as it is. The thing we do is we try it. Mm-hmm. Like we try it because we know and we've seen how a lot of studies have come to prove what certain people already believe is true. And a lot of science is somewhat behind what works with people practically. Like, and the rough thing is, like, we talk about this all the time, but a lot of these individuals who are super evidence-based, and I think there's strength behind studies and evidence, but when you are so evidence-based, anecdotes, you just spit on anecdotes. Mm-hmm. Like when people come and say, wow, this worked for me, and when hundreds and then thousands of people say, oh, this worked for me, it's placebo. Something feels good, it's pure placebo. Or, the science doesn't state that, but if it feels good for you, keep on. It's just like, there's this consistent, those anecdotes don't mean anything. Like, no, if we've learned anything, anecdotes mean a fucking lot. And if you're in the audience, I know how ridiculous it sounds that liver will help heal liver. I'm not saying I believe that shit, but I'm saying if just go try eating some fucking liver and see how you do over time. Mm-hmm. Does it make you feel better? I think that's an important thing. If you feel better, fucking do it. Mm-hmm. But don't base all of your actions off of what studies say, because you could be leaving a lot of results on the table because you're choosing not to take action.
Mm-hmm. Well, like when, I don't know, when man first started, had the ability to write shit on paper, was the first thing that he wrote studies?
Studies.
Like, right, all this shit was anecdotal at one point.
Yeah.
So who's like, we're not done evolving. Like, we're going to start doing some crazy shit that in 10 years from now, we'll look back and be like, wow, do you remember when we thought X, Y, and Z was so stupid?
Mm, yep.
So that's the part where, like, when it comes to studies and stuff, where I'm like, they just give it a little bit of time and be a little bit more open-minded and realize that studies weren't always here.
But I appreciate the information it brings.
Yeah,
it either absolutely brings information to help bolster your experience, or brings information to potentially disprove what you're doing and maybe help you do something better. But it can also bring a lot of information that will stagnate you from doing something that very well could help you move in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So don't wait.
Power Project family, how's it going? Now on this podcast, Mark, Andrew, and I, we talk about fasting a lot. We talk about the ketogenic diet and a lot of different types of diets. But Bubs Naturals has a product. They have the collagen protein, which is amazing. They have these apple cider vinegar gummies, which are like crack, but they have
they are
these, yeah, they have these MCT oil powder packets that, I've never used to do this, but in the morning I'll wake up and I'll put it in coffee, and the smoothness, number one, in terms of the mixing is amazing, but the consistency of my energy through the day because of the MCT oil powder is peak. Andrew, how's your experience with that?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. It's like the best way to start the day. You're satiated, you're energized, and you're just ready to crush the day. So if you guys want to get in on this MCT oil powder, head over to bubsnaturals.com and at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off your entire order. Again, Bubs Naturals, promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
I find so much of this just really interesting. Like, your nails and your hair are... and your skin to some degree, right? Don't they have like collagen in them, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then we eat collagen, like,
yeah, dude.
I mean, I don't think there's a lot of research there. I don't think there's a lot, but like, one of our sponsors for the show, they're based in that mm-hmm. in that space.
Bubs and their collagen protein.
Yeah, Bubs and their collagen protein. Like, there's a lot of people that buy into and believe in some of these things. I don't know what it does or doesn't do, but I know that, like, with certain things, when it comes to trying to do stuff for your health or for your nutrition, most of the stuff that I try usually works pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more recently, because of that podcast, I've been around for a long time. I've been listening to people talk about this shit forever. When Paul came through, Paul Saladino came through, I tried liver, and I messed with it for, like, a few weeks, and I was just like, I don't really think it fits me. Like, I don't mind eating it, but I don't know if it really did anything. But sometimes you're also expecting too much from stuff,
yeah.
You know, and also you don't always give stuff a fair shake.
Mm-hmm.
So more recently, and because of that podcast, I was like, you know what? Let me go back and revisit liver. Like, I could probably just get used to it. I got used to the fucking cold plunge. I can probably get used to this. I just started eating it every morning, and I started doing a little bit more of Paul Saladino's diet, where with raw dairy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I don't feel any, I just went to Austin, Texas, and I got to eat a couple things that were slightly off plan, but I don't have any desire to eat like pizza. I don't have any desire to eat ice cream. Now that's fucking rare for me. I'm a fatty boom balatti. Go ahead, throw it on.
Let's go.
Hey man, you got a pretty chubby face. Like, you look like a chubby fucking goblin.
See? Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
I'm just pulling out the old roast because someone stuff. Said that you look like a goblin.
A goblin.
Shrek is usually a good one. Yeah. People are like, I thought that
you
was
you did that
Shrek.
Shit for Halloween, didn't you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a good Shrek. Mark, mm-hmm. You know you're handsome. Hey, you want us to let him know what the black guy told you on the street?
Oh, my God.
Hey.
Well, first of all, he called me the N-word. That was really weird.
All right. Let me find your text real quick. So give me the context of how this happened to you.
I'm walking down the street.
Okay.
And a guy came up to me and Ryan Soper and just started talking to us. He's like, you guys are in the military, aren't you?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And he kept saying the N-word over and over again. You blank. You know, he kept saying, I'm like, that's odd. And then he looks at me and he's like, you guys are jacked. And he's like going on, he's all excited, and he's like,
nigga, if I had your eyes, my dick would hurt all day.
That's what he said.
Holy shit. That was so funny. He pretty much meant he'd be getting so much pussy if he had your eyes.
I think so. I think that's what he was leading to. I was like, what the hell?
How does one come to that conclusion? That's so great.
Because his eyes are amazing. That's why.
You do have pretty eyes. Like, I look at your eyes a little bit too long during the podcast. And I just have to, like, I got to look away for a second.
Snap yourself back.
I got to, you know, just drink some water.
Throw some water down the front of your pants. Cool down a bit.
You just see nothing but steam coming out from under the desk.
Man.
That was interesting.
That's funny. That was an
Austin. How did you react?
Well, first of all, the guy was like, he was pretty big.
Yeah.
So he was just started, he just like came in between the two of us as we're walking. And I'm like, the first thing I notice is like, that guy's pretty big, you know? And so I put my phone in my pocket. I'm like, I might need both hands. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I don't know what this guy's doing.
Be ready.
But like, you know, being in Texas, it's a different fucking area, you know?
Yeah.
And we had a lot of people approach us on the street and just start talking to you, like, which doesn't happen here in California. So I'm like, do I need to like fight somebody? Like, what's going down? Like, do I need to watch my back? Like, people got weapons? Like, what am I up against over here?
Yeah.
So that was kind of the first thing. I was like, what's this guy's deal? But he was harmless. He was just fucking around.
That's funny. Yeah. It is interesting, I guess, how much more upfront Texans are people from Texas. But yeah, you did three different podcasts down there.
That was great.
Sick.
I'm so excited for it. But anyway, back to my point.
Back to your point.
I started eating more liver, or just started eating liver religiously, like every day, and implementing some of this, some raw dairy. And it's helped make me feel stronger. I keep telling you guys, like every other day, my running times are getting better. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's multiple reasons for that as well. But it's just, it's leading me to believe like, hey, I think this is helpful. I think this is leading to something. And just the fact that the cravings aren't there and the fact that my sleep is finally starting to get straightened out, I probably sleep well 5 nights a week.
That's good.
Which I would probably normally sleep well maybe once or twice a week. So that is completely flipped. I can't say that it's because of liver.
No.
I can't say because I'm eating pillows and bed sheets that I'm starting to sleep better. Because I don't think it works that way.
You don't know. Is there a study that says that it doesn't work?
But as I look at my other point, I never fucking tried it. You know, let's play some of these clips and see what we got.
Let's go. All right. So this is Liver King on Logan Paul's podcast.
I love his shirt. That's a nice shirt.
It looks just like his body.
Dude, he's got some big pecs going.
Man, he's so brown. Like his body is
always outside.
Is super tan. His face is like pink and his body is deep tan.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Well, bam. The guy next to him looks uncomfortable.
I could use some extra testicle, bro.
This is what I've heard.
I'm missing some testicles.
Have you ever heard this? Have you ever heard why eat vegetables when you can eat testicles? Has anybody ever told you this?
No, that's the first, man. That was the first time.
Well, let me just ask you, why would you ever eat a vegetable? I'm looking for a serious response.
We have
dating a hot vegan.
That's the answer.
Not bad.
A vegan in the room.
Yeah, can we get some answers? Because I wanted to ask you about this. You are extremely anti-salad, I've noticed. I've watched you toss salad.
Super low-hanging fruit of a
with jelly or syrup.
I'll go with it. In a recent video,
I thought it was a cert.
Toss the salad.
It's the Chris Rock joke.
I know, jelly or cert.
Yeah.
Why are you syrup. So anti-salad? No, like, you don't like a good Caesar? Everybody likes a good
Personally,
Caesar.
Personally, I prefer cert.
You know what I like? I like double bacon cheeseburgers. I like lobsters. I like ribeyes. I like bone-in ribs, right? I mean, if you go to any primitive culture tribe, any modern day primitive culture tribe, you know what you won't see in meat? You're not going to see them eat vegetables.
Is that, I got to challenge you right off the bat. Is that a fact? Because from what I've learned, we had omnivores. Like, people weren't just straight carnivores. They ate plants, they foraged, they found stuff.
Yeah, so I'm not talking to you about something that I've read.
Got it.
I'm talking about these six tribes. Tribes that I've gone and lived with.
Oh, got it.
Okay. In the Amazon and Africa, we're headed to the Arctic Circle later in the month. And this is what I want to know, right? I saw the Hadza start to pick some plants. And I'm like, here we go.
You're going to start beating people.
I said, what the f*** are you doing? Turns out somebody had diarrhea. And they use plants medicinally. But plants, I'm omnivorous. I'm not saying that we're 100% carnivorous. But I want to make a point about the testicles, and I'm going to answer your question with that. There is no vegetable
that's going to produce a testicle. There's no vegetable in the history of fucking vegetables that has the raw ingredients to produce a testicle. Raw bovine testicles have all of the raw ingredients required to, number one, produce a testicle and to strengthen and support our own testicles. It has luteinizing hormone, LH, FSH. It has testosterone, which is not biologically inert to all everyone else's
testicles. Yeah, mine went off as well.
Sorry to pause you for a second. We were peaking.
Anyway, but that is interesting about the FSH and the LH, though.
Is that true?
I don't know. I don't know.
That is really interesting. Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
I don't know anything about that. Like, so this would be something I would have to ask some friends of mine that are that know more about this kind of stuff. But like, I don't know, man. I don't know if you can like eat hormones from a.
That's what I was getting.
You
at.
Know, so like, can you eat like so? But keep in mind when you shop at the grocery store, these are cows that weren't fed any growth hormone. Right? Like that's what it says. Like, mm-hmm. So why does it say that? So if you can't get the, so I kind of wonder, I'm curious if, can you get the hormone?
I'm going to go with no, because
yeah, we have macros and micros and that's it, right?
I don't know. But what I do know is if we can get the LH and FSH, that means we could also get testosterone from these testicles. I'm assuming if that's where they're coming from, then dudes would be eating a fuck ton of testicles if we could just carry over the hormones directly to us.
No, that again, it's like, it's a big podcast. It's going to reach a lot of people. And if the logic path, when you hear it, makes sense. Eat testicles for better testicles, eat liver. The logic path makes sense, but because it makes so much sense, it's easily believable. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think like he's kind of leaning into the Liver King, you know, like I think it's like, he's going to be able to convince most people that that's legit.
Mm-hmm.
And most people aren't like paying attention to Lane versus Liver King. Yeah. So it's tough.
And another big thing is the key to better testicle health or better sexual health.
Get it sucked.
Is get them licked.
Get them drained.
Yeah.
Drain those balls, baby. I hope I didn't make you lose your train of thought.
No, I was just thinking that.
That's actually what he was thinking about.
Twice since I got Ben back.
Let's go!
Nice.
Ba-dum-ksh.
One for each side.
That's right. You gotta stay healthy, right?
Healthy and balanced.
But what will keep all your shit in better check is the 9 tenets that he talks about. The other things that he preaches, mm-hmm. he talks about like lifting heavy things, throwing shit, getting out in sunlight.
Yes.
Just being active, living an active, healthy lifestyle, getting sleep, all those things. So I do think a lot of what he's saying is far-fetched. It's just, I agree with what you're saying too. It's like, it sounds like a good fairy tale to sell people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, I don't think there's any harm in Liver King, though. I think a lot of people have an issue with him, and they're like, is he on shit? Is he not on shit? Mm-hmm. I don't really like for people to lie, so I don't have no idea whether he's on shit or not. It does look like he uses performance-enhancing drugs. He's very fucking jacked, so if he's not using them, then he did a great job producing a natural body, and congratulations on that. But where I got to tip my hat to the Liver King is he's a fucking marketing machine.
Yeah.
And I think people are hating on it. Like, they don't know what to do with it. And that's why everyone's talking about, like, why is a PhD professor or a PhD, or why someone like Lane Norton, who's PhD, why has he even got to bother? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I know that Lane, you know, he's kind of a defender of his space, and he wants to, you know, try to have people, I guess, set forth in like what he feels is the right direction. So I get it all. But I think the Liver King's overall message is really good. And unfortunately, like when you listen to sound bites and stuff, you don't get the whole context. But if you listen to that whole podcast, which I recommend people should do, he talks about all these other things that you should have lined up.
Yeah.
So I don't know how, like, I don't know how good of an idea it is for us to get stuck and get hung up on this. This guy is promoting people to have some healthy living.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty cool.
You know, one thing that you mentioned to me the other day, I think you were talking to Andrew and I about this, is that Liver King is talking about doing difficult things. Like, eating liver is not fun, nor does it taste good, no matter which way you cook it to most Americans. Same with bone marrow. Actually, I want to get some Piedmontese bone marrow because I've never had bone marrow. But with a lot of these organs don't taste good.
The bone marrow is so good.
I know. When I see
it,
you cook it.
It doesn't take anything. Like, all you have to do is you just flip it upside down. You know, you put it like kind of fat side down or flat side down of the bone. And it just kind of cooks in there and it turns into butter.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I'm gonna get some of the bone marrow from them. But the thing that then I was thinking about, I was like, yeah, you know what? These things are hard, but they're good to do. It is good to eat organs, but most people won't. So what will most people do instead? Most people don't want to cook steak, so they get whey protein. Most people don't want to buy or cook organs. So what are they going to end up doing? They're going to end up buying the organ supplements that he talks about. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, when we were talking about Liver King, I don't think he had, like, months ago, there was no supplement company along with what he was talking about with his nine tenets.
I think he has had it, but he wasn't.
It wasn't like.
And I also don't know. Does he push his stuff a lot? I don't even know if he pushes his stuff a lot.
You know what? That's a good thing. I couldn't tell you.
I think he punches all these principles, but I don't know if he is pushing hardcore, like, you need this.
That's the thing. But this is where you're like, he's a really good marketing machine because he is behind a company that does make organ supplements, and he doesn't need to tell people that because, again, think about most people. Most people aren't going to go cook organs. Yes. Most people are going to be like, fuck, that's disgusting. Is there a supplement for this? Oh, shit, there's a supplement for my organs? Mm-hmm. Let me just get that and do what Liver King's talking about. And that's most people.
Right.
So most people, when people were saying, oh, he's hawking to supplements, blah, 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 I think that Liver King's nine tenets and what he's preaching and the organ thing and the movement and the sun, I think that's amazing. And I think most people should do that. Everyone should do that. But on the back end, there's going to be a lot of people buying these organ supplements to get that in their diet. And, you know, it's not evil because it's all health. Like, these things, the things he's talking about are healthy. Some of it may be somewhat untrue.
Right.
But, you know, I kind of understand it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just going to his IG, not that that's like the end all be all, but it says CEO of Ancestral Lifestyle. So I don't know if that's a company. Sounds like it would make sense.
I believe he's the owner of Ancestral Supplements as well. His actual name, he is the owner. His name is signed, like when you buy Ancestral Supplements, I've bought before. There's like a thing about why he believes you should eat those things, and his name, Brian Johnson, is signed.
Got it. And then the one link, it sends you to a way to get his ebook, which is download, which of course is going to lead to other stuff, but that's all I see.
I want to quickly add, I ain't mad at him for that. For some people, it is really hard to get an organ. So these types of supplements can be very beneficial for people not willing to do it. It's a beneficial thing to do. And everybody, Greg Doucette, all these individuals make their own supplements.
But at the same time, if you have liver disease, you know, getting a liver supplement is probably not going to be something that's going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Having a healthy lifestyle and following a bunch of things that have a healthy lifestyle around it, that kind of stuff. It's interesting because we all have something to sell. I sell products that have organs in it. Mm-hmm. It brings up an interesting topic, though, too. I wonder, it would be great to get like a scientist on here to talk about like desiccation, you know, stuff that's like freeze-dried and desiccated versus synthetic. Because people swear by multivitamin. They're like, oh, yeah, I take multivitamin every day. I think that multivitamins are garbage, but I don't know. I don't know if they are or aren't. But I would just assume that something that's synthetic, like I've even heard more recently people talking about synthetic versions of vitamin D and synthetic versions of vitamin C, just most of the vitamin C and most of the vitamins that we see in normal stores and we have normal access to that aren't derived specifically from a fruit, from a plant, or from an animal. They could be causing more harm than good. I don't know. But with some of the stuff that the Liver King is selling and a lot of these kind of meat-based, animal-based products and some of these even plant-based products like greens and so forth, at least they're coming from – at least it started from an original whole food item. And then maybe, yes, it was broken down and maybe it's not as – pure as the thing from the very beginning, but It's just really interesting. I wonder, you know, like is it good to take vitamin C or is it way better to get it from an orange specifically or something like that? Or some supplement that is derived from an orange.
Yeah. Did you want to do the studies part? Just to give people an idea of like, hey, just be careful what inputs you, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Date this, right? There's radioisotope labeling studies that show conclusively that when you eat an organ, the corresponding organ in your body will receive the nourishment. Most of the nourishment will go there.
I was going to ask.
So conclusively, he just proved it.
You know, if he just stopped at the organ will get the nourishment, you could be like, well, I mean, when you eat something, all your organs get the nourishment.
Yeah, right.
But then when he said it gets most of the nourishment, it's like, dog, oh, fuck. You could have been all right. And then when he went that deep, oof. Like, they got you.
Yeah, and then saying it comes from a study and stuff. I mean, you're better off just saying, hey, here's what I think, here's what I believe, and kind of sticking down that path.
Yeah, and that's the next part. So this is what Mark was explaining, how it's like he's going to mix in studies with belief, and then it's, you know, because of the platform. I mean, I didn't see how many views this got, but it's Logan Paul, so it's going to get millions.
I think the full podcast got like maybe 1.7, 1.9 M. I think so.
Good, man. I think it's fucking great. Yeah.
Like, I think generally
let's
it's good.
Have more people talking about like eating meat and eating organs. Like, that's an awesome problem to have.
True. I, you know what?
I don't want to get misled by anything, but it, just in the grand scheme of things, hopefully it just people
are just
thinking like, man, I that guy has a pretty good build. I want to figure out how do I go figure that out? You know, let me go buy some steroids. I'm just kidding.
No, people in fitness who pay attention to fitness stuff, get angry because of like what he's saying. But if we think about,
I would love to have 1.7 views,
was a million views
on this video right here. Right now.
Yeah.
But if some 35-year-old man that has never paid attention to fitness before and likes Logan Paul for some reason, I mean, as 35-year-old, like he hears this, he sees this, he's like, I'm going to get in the sun. I'm going to lift weights. I'm going to eat organs. Motherfucker, tell me how that's bad. Mm-hmm. I know that there may be some things that he's saying that's not ideal, that may not be true, but overall, is this man pushing people to challenge themselves and get healthier? He is. It's different than the way you'd like to see it done, but he's getting the job done in a certain way, and he's making a lot of money, but at the end of the day, he's helping people get healthier. And when I see that, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Keep it up.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Mark, you have said like, hey, we're all on the same team.
Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's selling something. I mean, you look at The Rock. I'm a huge fan. I admire The Rock like crazy. Mm-hmm. He's got stuff to sell. Everyone's got stuff to sell. Mm-hmm. And even if you are not really, truly selling something, you're at least selling some ideas, some concepts.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Building towards something.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here.
Man, dude.
Here's the thing. I believe the stronger the animal, the more strength you're going to derive from the nourishment. So I don't have a whole lot of chicken organs, right? I like a fucking bull. I like an elk. I like a moose. I like big fucking strong animals. Have you ever heard a story when there's a recipient of an organ transplant and that recipient starts to take on characteristics of the donor?
I've heard that.
And so our early ancestors have known.
That's interesting.
For thousands of years, for maybe millions of years, that when somebody has a failing heart, to feed them the heart of a healthy animal, and this will strengthen and support their own heart. So to answer your question, I think it fucking matters. So what's most accessible is going to be cow, right? All of this comes from a cow.
So he started that by saying, I believe.
I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's his belief, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't fuck with chicken much because it isn't as nutrient dense as like beef and meat from cows. So like there's truth in that, some truth. But hey, it's his belief.
Sometimes when if we're in the fitness space and we're talking about chicken, I think we tend to think about chicken breast, boneless, skinless chicken breast.
With GHU sauce.
I don't know for sure, but if that's all you ate for a year, you might die. Like literally, like you might get sick. Like you just don't have enough fat in your body. I don't know what would happen, but I do know there is like a real thing called rabbit starvation. People have talked about it a lot. I don't know if it's like overhyped or what the deal is, but it's when you're eating primarily just lean meat and you don't get the fat because fat carries nutrients.
Yeah.
Fat is like a holder of nutrients. Not that protein doesn't have any nutrients in it, but it doesn't have a lot. It's just to help support your muscles, and it's not very nutrient dense. But luckily for us, when we're talking about eating meat, most of the time it's packaged together with fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the time, even when we're talking about protein, we talk a lot about protein leveraging. well, it's kind of hard to protein leverage without getting any sources of fat in there. And that's a good thing because it helps keeps our hormones healthy. It helps keep us, you know, feeling healthy and feeling really good. So where I agree with him is the fact that, like, a lot of times when we're normally talking about chicken, if you're talking about, like, not eating chicken skin, not eating the dark meat and stuff like that, you're not going to get the nutrients that you need to be bigger and to be stronger. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're eating more meat-based and you're only relying on, like, birds and you're only relying on leaner sources of protein, it's just going to be that much harder to get there.
Yeah. No, like, that's why Pete, again, I think about Piedmontese and how dope it is all the time, because, like, they're most people, when they choose to go on a diet that they choose to go low fat on, they resort to eating chicken. But Piedmontese has a bunch of cut red meat that is low fat, but it's still more nutrient dense than a chicken breast. Mm. So, you know, that's primarily why, like, I never buy chicken. I can't remember the last time that I've made chicken breast. It was literally more than 3 or 4 years ago.
The little guy on your shoulder. He's on your shoulder asking to eat chicken. Oh, and Seema's eyes.
Pull up the clip.
Seema's eyes right now were priceless. He was like, I can't believe you said that. That was so good.
Andrew, pull it up.
I'll find
it. People need context because there's going to be someone that's just like, did Mark just say that? But I got this little black angel on my shoulder saying, boy, eat some chicken. Fuck you.
Hello, Mr. Chappelle.
Oh, this is so
we're definitely getting pinged for shit
what
today.
Oh, my God. Oh,
we have fish or chicken.
Oh, my God. All right.
You don't want no fish. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I just realized we are all out of the fish. Back in the game!
Back in the game. Oh, my God.
Oh, Chappelle was so good. That humor doesn't age to, like, some people now, but that was so good. Oh, man.
Best show ever. Did you see when that that guy tried to rush the stage to, like, tackle him or something?
Yeah.
Dude, that was so good because, like, everybody's beating his ass, and he was just like... Yeah, he's just kind of like announcing it, like, I gotta go see this, get his ass beat.
Yeah, man. Apparently that guy was arrested also for attempted murder of somebody else.
Karma.
Like, yeah, he actually tried to murder somebody a few weeks back, and they're like, oh, that's the guy. You know? So
that's some scary shit.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Scary shit.
Our boy Stan, years ago, he said that, like, I think somebody asked him about eating chicken, and he's like, you ever see a chicken's neck versus a cow's neck?
Yeah, you talk about like a
and
weak...
And we're like, wait, what?
A weak bird.
Yeah, it's like a weak... Yeah, I've heard other people say that as well.
Stan Efferding is also a Piedmontese cow.
Yeah, I know.
So,
yeah.
Like, I mean, goddamn, he's so thick. Even now. But prime Stan, when I see videos of, like, Stan when he's lifting with you, I don't understand how a human being...
His shoulders were like this table right here.
He was so wide and so big in every sense, other than his calves. You know?
Monster.
You just had to chop them down, didn't you?
I had to say something.
I always love the calves because it's like there's nothing anyone can do about it.
Nah, man.
Alberto Nunez posted a really good picture of his back the other day.
Oh, he looks like a Ninja Turtle, bro.
Oh, my God. He looked amazing. Like, it's really rare to see, like, that kind of progress, especially with a lifter that's been lifting a long time. We were in some discussions about that and, like, what that looks like and stuff. And when Berto posted that, I was like, damn, like, he's really been doing a great job. But the calves.
Yeah.
I looked at the calves. I was like, oh, man.
Wait, what am I looking for? Sorry. I was looking for the video of Stan doing, like, how heavy were the dumbbells?
Where he was 200. Yeah, like 200 or something. Yeah.
That's what I was looking for. What'd you want me to?
Alberto Nunez.
On IG?
Yeah. He's going to look good on stage. But
he's one of my favorites, by the way.
You know what? Again, that's another Alberto Nunez, another proof, because people are going to be like, oh, people really do think that man's on drugs, which is wild. But he's continuing to gain muscle because of consistency through the years. And he's going to be, I think he's in his late 30s now, right?
Yeah.
People think you're just going to degrade.
He's looking incredible. When it comes to strength and it comes to muscle mass, I mean, you can gain for a long time. Now, he's the first guy to point out, hey, these are like two totally different pictures, totally different angles and different lighting and different, even different cameras, right? The cameras were way different back in the day. But fuck, dude, that's a lot of progress. And then look at, like, he's got, like, almost like his rear delts are like doorknobs. Like, what the fuck, dude?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, most people don't have that. What is that?
Most people don't even train their rear delts. They
probably that injection site.
Yeah.
It's an infection, actually.
Oh, natural bodybuilding. Yeah, sure. It's natural. Wink, wink.
I love that. Yeah, like the natty
drug
not,
tested, not or yeah. drug.
Drug tested doesn't mean drug, drug free.
That's what mm-hmm. they always say. Oh god, I love it.
I do like when like the Reddit posts get like super into it, where like they zoom in and then they're like, "Look, that looks like an injection site." That like,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, dog.
Detective work. It's yeah, my favy.
All right, we all liver kinged out. We can get our point across.
I think so. Hey,
what's the
Magnificent beard on the man? Though I'll say.
Good beard, but what's hold on, one more picture of Alberto Nunez, because holy shit.
Dog, Alberto Nunez, man, he look at those shoulders,
the lats,
those shoulders, pumping shoulders, definitely not natty. You can't get shoulders like that without taking drugs.
He gets so lean, it's absurd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
he's like his the cheekbones and shit, and like his I remember we had first had him on the podcast. Mm-hmm. He was like it like dieting for a show. He had a show like a couple weeks later. Mm-hmm. And just like he's like chewing gum and like there's like weird shit going on the side of his head. I was like, dude, yeah. He has like striations in the side of your head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His glutes, his hamstrings, when he gets that lean, it's disgusting what he looks like.
That's crazy.
But man, he diets for like 30 plus weeks. People don't realize that shit. Like most people are not willing to diet like consistently for that long. And when he starts his diet, he's already lean. Like he's like already 10% body fat when he starts his diet.
Dieting for 3 days can be hard. All those months piling up like that. Yeah. That's a lot.
And how often does he compete?
Oh, he doesn't compete every year. Okay. Alberto competes maybe, I think his last competition season was 2017. Mm. So it's usually every 3 or 4 years. And this is the thing, in natural bodybuilding, you don't see guys compete successfully every year because you need that. You need a good off season to gain a good amount of muscle. But in the NPC, you can gain muscle every season because you got a little help.
So I guess last thing to let everyone know, to carry this one home, tie a bow on it about the Liver King and Lane Norton and all that good stuff. Something for them to think about.
I think Lane had a lot of good points. It's just like, you know, no reason to attack people, just like people who are trying to get better. You know, you don't need to name call people. And I don't know. I was surprised looking at the comments. It was just pure agreement from people in the space, like professionals. And I was just, I mean, number one, I'm not trying to be on some fucking high horse. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to do that shit. I don't want to sound like that. But, I mean, I think, like, we are all trying to help people. Mm-hmm.
It also ain't for free.
I mean, the podcast is free. So, hey, the Discord is free. Go join the fucking Discord. We got people in there that are fucking killing it. That's free.
It's kind of free. Nothing's free.
Yeah, when you were like, everyone's kind of trying to sell something. Yeah. It's like, I was trying to sell a cold plunge the other day, you know, because I'm sharing how amazing I feel while I'm sitting in it. But like,
we have sponsors and stuff. Yeah, it helps. It's helpful.
Drop the code in there.
You know, and when I look at what Liver King's doing, like, yo, man, like what Lane's doing is he's helping people. He's putting out great content on his channel all the time. He has his supplement line. He has the things that he's, you know, but he also has people do things through nutrition. Liver King's doing the same thing. He said some wild shit, but I don't know, man. It's just, I don't get the way of going about
just
it.
Just going in whatever. Hard like that, hard in the paint.
I guess you had a point, man. Like,
yeah,
you got a tipping point. It's like when you hear so much bullshit.
And he's on the front lines. Like he's on the front lines. He's going to battle every fucking day, it seems.
Yep.
So, and I mean, can you think of anybody else that is more in the fitness space that has done as much research, has read as many papers, can fucking actually interpret these papers more than Lane Norton?
I mean, yeah, Schoenfeld, Aragon, Snedulski, Huberman.
Okay.
But it's like,
but Huberman's not necessarily in
He's not in the fitness space. But I'm just saying, like, there are people that do that, but Lane is like, I look at Lane as the guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that kind of conversation, it actually gets me excited because I'm like, this is cool. Like, I hope that people – a lot of it was, like, just people going back and forth and, like, some of it was, like, pretty negative and then some people were just, like, just making jokes and stuff. But
I'll eat a dick for a bigger dick.
Yes, sir.
Hey, shove all that pizzle down my mouth, baby.
It's interesting, pizzle. Like when you eat something, like does it actually become part of your body? Or is there some other process that's going on? You know, like when you eat chicken breast, does the chicken breast end up in your bicep?
Yeah.
Or your pecs, your breasts.
Or your pecs. Yeah. Well, that too, that
makes
right?
sense.
Is it broken down into like aminos and then it takes a while? Like how long does it take? Like it makes me go, holy fuck. Mm-hmm. Like there's still so much that's unknown in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I don't even know what knowing that would even do or if it'd be helpful in any way. And there's also probably not a real way to like research that, but we are deriving nutrients from the food that we eat. Mm. And then it is like somehow being partitioned out into the body for us to have energy and for us to have reserves. And like, I don't know. I just find it all fascinating.
Yeah. And what about the person that's going to frequent McDonald's, Taco Bell and that sort of thing? Like, I don't know, like you can make the argument that whatever the fuck that chemically whatever made food is can be turned into, you know, belly fat or whatever. Like maybe it's made out of belly fat. and that's what happens when you eat it.
Oh man.
Sorry.
It's made out of chub.
Yeah.
Take us on out of here, Andrew.
All right. Thank you everybody for checking out today's episode. Please let us know what you guys think about this conversation. Let us know your opinions on whether or not if you eat testicles, you get better testicles or you can make better testicles.
I'm down to try.
I mean, hey, yeah, I guess I should have been eating testicles as I was making my kiddo. But make sure you guys like today's video and then subscribe. If you guys are not subscribed, please turn on those bell notifications so you guys don't miss another episode. And follow the podcast at MB Power Project on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. And my Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. And Seema, where are you at?
1286 or 1287 members in Discord. Almost at 1300. Nice. I feel like every single week we're like hundreds of members. Mm-hmm. But hey, guys, join the Discord because like there's a place where you can talk about your progress. We chime in. If there's questions, try to answer questions. We bring questions to the podcast. You guys can put topic requests in there along with in the comments here. But there's a lot of good community going on over there and you should join it. So the link's in the description. At Nsema Ending on Instagram, YouTube, at Nsema Yin Yang on TikTok and Twitter. Mark.
I'm at Mark Smelly Bell. Strength is never weakness. Weakness never strength. Catch you guys later. Bye.